It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore a statewide prison art exhibit curated by the Portrait Society Gallery of Contemporary Art. It's called Art Against the Odds, and it's on display at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. Join in on inmate artists, their creations, their place in the art world, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jeff Morin is president of the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. Jeff, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. We also have Deborah Bramer with us, director of the Portrait Society Gallery of Contemporary Art and exhibit curator. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you, Kate.
Well, Deborah, let's start with you. What are you hoping people experience by viewing artwork from current and former incarcerated individuals?
I guess underlying emphasis of the exhibition is to showcase the humanity of incarcerated individuals who are often hidden from society. So we hope that people who visit the show will come away a little bit surprised by the quality of the work and the uniqueness of the work and the variety of individuals making art in prison.
Jeff, what thoughts and questions do you want to have people percolating, you know, stewing on in their mind when they walk through the exhibit?
I think one of the most important things for people to be thinking about when they view the exhibit is that this is evidence about how basic the driving need to make or create is for humans. Many of the artists have shared that their art allows them to express their humanity. It allows them to develop empathy and self-awareness and to have a sense of self outside of their criminal record.
Yes, an identity outside their crime. Deborah, in choosing pieces for this exhibit, what did you think about? How did you go about curating?
Well, this was a COVID project. My gallery is a contemporary art gallery. It's a commercial gallery, but about 6 years ago, we added a program called On the Wing, which receives nonprofit status through a fiscal receiver. And the intention of that project was to get beyond the Third Ward, where the gallery is located, and make connections to other parts of the city and other types of people who may not have access to as much art programming or art experiences. So we did that project for 4 years at the House of Peace, which is a hub of community services. And there I had kind of a awakening, I guess you could call it, and now it seems almost a little naive, but a topic at our table, where we were doing this drawing practice at the House of Peace, was so frequently prison life. There are people, women had, their sons were in prison, their husbands, men who came to the table were often had served time, and I really realized how pervasive this is, how it affects the city. And if you live in a Black neighborhood, or if you're an African-American individual, chances are, one out of 36 Black individuals are imprisoned in Wisconsin. It's actually the highest rate of anywhere in the country. So when COVID closed down our program, it felt like this might be worthwhile to explore. What's going on in the prisons, of course, through the window of the art world, because I'm an art curator. And to find the artists, we partnered with someone named Shannon Ross. He's formerly incarcerated.
Oh, sure. We've had him on our program.
Shannon?
Yes, yes,
okay.
We do.
Everybody knows Shannon. Well, he founded a newsletter to circulate in the prisons. And since he's been out, he's amplified that newsletter. And that's how we reached out into the prisons. We put notices in the community, it's called, and asking for individuals to respond if they were interested in showing their work. And we received a surprising number of responses almost immediately.
Jeff, is there a particular piece of art that really speaks to you that you connected with on a deeper level in this exhibit?
Well, I think in the broader context, it's a powerful exhibition because most of those included are self-taught. And they're working with such a limited range of found materials, materials like toothpicks, milk cartons, paper, snack wrappers, even dissolved antacid tablets for color. So one piece that resonated the most with me because of its ambition is a 5-foot-tall working Ferris wheel model that's made from rolled up computer paper, cardboard gears, string, a shampoo bottle, and a sand mechanism that keeps the Ferris wheel moving for about 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It's an amazing piece of engineering.
Wow. What about for you, Deborah? What speaks to you in this exhibit and how you put these pieces together?
Oh, so many. The works are just incredibly impressive and accomplished. But I'm continuously struck when I walk into the gallery by the work of Dominic Merrick, who first did pencil drawings of some fellow inmates, very beautifully rendered, and then he translated those drawings into collages using junk food wrappers and soda wrappers. And they're very elegant collages that he says speak of the disposability of incarcerated individuals, how society views incarcerated individuals. So they're really beautiful. They're very touching.
Do you know anything about when inmates normally are able to create art when they are in a prison facility? How does that access and time work? Because artists need time to create.
Well, incarcerated individuals do have time. I mean, not to make light of that, but there's very little to do when you're in prison. It's boring. Days go slowly. They're marked by, you know, when is the yard open? When are the phones open? When do we eat? When is my time to have a library privilege? So there is a lot of time. How artists make art in prison and where depends on the security level of the prison, of course. Some are able to make work in their cells. Some have to go to a hobby room. Materials are limited. If you have money, you can order art materials through a catalog, a prison-approved catalog. The materials are often a little substandard, but they are available. In most prisons, you are able to declare two hobbies, let's say beading and painting, and then you are able to order those materials through the catalog. But some artists, such as Joshua Gressel, did not have access to materials, and he ended up ripping up his milk cartons and juice cartons and creating hundreds of these little figures and creatures that became very important to him. Even though he would get in trouble for ripping up the milk cartons, because milk cartons are state property, state goods, and you're not allowed to utilize state goods, he had to keep doing it. So in the show, we have a large wall of maybe 100 of these milk monsters, as he called them.
Curator Deborah Bramer directs the Portrait Society Gallery of Contemporary Art. Jeff Morin leads MIA, the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, where Art Against the Odds is on display. Join in by calling with your questions, your comments. Share what comes up for you about artists who are incarcerated. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about this exhibition called Art Against the Odds, Wisconsin Prison Art, on display in Milwaukee, and the conversation it elevates about our criminal justice system and inmate expression through artwork. Still time for your questions, your perspective, 800-642-1234. We have Portrait Society Gallery of Contemporary Art Director Deborah Bramer with us, and Jeff Morin, who leads the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. Jeff, I want to turn to you for a moment here to talk about solitary confinement and, you know, behavior related to solitary confinement. How does this exhibit address solitary?
We do have, as part of the layout of the exhibition, a footprint for a solitary confinement cell. And that gives the attendees of the exhibition an idea of the limited space that somebody occupies when they're in solitary confinement.
Mm. You have a lot of students, you know, in your building as well. What are their thoughts on this exhibit?
Well, I think one of the important things for us is that our mission is to ignite curious minds through art, design, and service. And what this allows us, the conversation that we have with our students is around how we get to live out our institutional values of community inclusion and courage. One of the points that is resonating on campus is the fact that 95% of those incarcerated will eventually return to our communities. So we're really trying to foster conversations with our students that encourage reflection on incarceration, on the nature of rehabilitation, and on what the restorative power of art making can be.
Mm. I want to bring in a voice here in the exhibit, former inmate Sarah Demarath. And here's Sarah talking with WTMJ-TV about her collection of abstract ink paintings in the exhibit.
The circles represent my eyes at different points of my addiction. And I had all these stories in this long 16-year battle with addiction. The only thing recognizable to me were my eyes at that point.
Deborah, what did you see in Sarah's artwork?
Sarah's artwork is just amazing, because if you're in the exhibition and you see it, it is a grid of abstract patterns made with alcohol. I think they're organic abstract patterns. Don't look like they're narrative at all. But then when you read the text, you'll see that while she was in prison, she was journaling and she was trying to make sense of and hold on to those 16 years of addiction. She didn't want to just put that behind her. She knew she had to process it. So when she got out of prison, she started making these compositions based on the journal entries. So each image represents a stage of her history and her addiction. Mm. So she found an incredible language to access all of this and then to share it.
I want to bring in a comment here. Julie in Sparta called in, and Julie says, they used to live near the Minnesota State Fair, and the fair had a section in the art exhibit with art from inmates. And Julie would go every year because it was so interesting. And they say that the art was regular canvas paintings and not made out of found pieces or scraps or what would be considered as, quote, prison art. Jeff, what are your thoughts on having more exposure and, more exposure through art exhibits like at a state fair?
Well, I think exposure to the work being created within the prison system is powerful. It allows us all to have conversations about just the value of creation, the value of making, and our self-worth. What we're hearing from the participants in this exhibition is that they've learned empathy through their art making. They've learned self-awareness through their art making. For one of the participants, He refers to it as a tool for managing his mental health. And if it is not a formal part of the programming within the prison system, individuals will find a way to feed that very important basic part of being a human.
Talking with Jeff Morin, president of the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. Deborah Bramer is here, leads the Portrait Society Gallery of Contemporary Art, as we learn about this exhibit in Milwaukee featuring artwork by current and former inmates. So, Deborah, I want to ask you, is there an appetite for inmate artwork in the art world, collector's world, and the marketplace for art? I mean, is it valued and accepted and treated equally, or is it treated differently?
It's kind of, that's kind of a question that has both answers. It is treated differently too often. This kind of art is treated as other within the contemporary art world. It's not quite let in. It's thought of as outsider art, or therapeutic art, or, you know, or something else, something other. And what we've done with the show, the very premise was to make sure that that didn't happen, because these individuals are already marginalized, and so we didn't want this like as kind of a add-on to the art world, in the art world, but something not quite of the art world. So all of the work is framed, it's professionally mounted, the exhibition is presented in 6 thematic sections, so it's an orderly path through, and I think more progress is being made in the contemporary art world to diversify and to not think of someone who is self-taught, someone who is poor, geographically remote, someone who is a woman, someone who is old, you know, all the previous ways that we discriminated in the art world are now being much more carefully examined. So this show fits right into, I think, this time period. And it really is important, because people tend to think of the art world as a somewhat elitist place, occupied by wealthy collectors and wealthy people and powerful artists.
This is breaking some of those boundaries.
It is breaking the boundaries, exactly, because art is being made everywhere.
Deborah and Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing the space for this conversation.
Jeff Morin is president of the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. Deborah Bramer, director of the Portrait Society Gallery of Contemporary Art. Links to the Art Against the Odds exhibit, wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.